It is time for Supercross Tech. We already had kind of a three-man weave going. Momo's here, very pregnant Momo. Andy Kamenetsky's here. He had his booster shot 10:30 this morning. The big CY, Clinton Yates, is here. And also joining us is George Sedano. Now, I've told George this off the air. I think I probably said it on the air. George has two children. He has come up with the best names for kids of anyone I know. I love the names of his kids. He has Mateo and he has Aria, which I think are just like the coolest names for kids. George, do you have any tips for Momo that might did you and Kelly have any problem accelerating delivery right before your kids were born?
No, we didn't have any of those issues. Actually, my kids both came out late. They were days late.
So did Daniel. So did Momo's first.
Yeah.
So I think Aria was like a week, and then Mateo was like 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, they didn't want to leave. They were comfortable.
That's what happens. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of fits for me, right? Like, I'm always late. So, I mean, I kind of deserve this.
What have you told Daniel, Momo? What is he expecting?
So the best part was telling Daniel, I said,
Daniel's three, right?
He's three. Yeah, three and a half. And I said to him, I waited because everybody told me, like, you might want to wait because they don't understand the concept of time, right? You know, like that age. So at one point, I think I was about 6.5 months, 7 months. And I said, hey, Daniel, guess what? I have to tell you something. Mommy has a baby in her belly. And he goes, no, you don't. And I said, yeah, I have a baby in my belly. You're going to be a big brother. And he goes, well, you have to take it. I said, okay. Then about 5 minutes later, he says, you know what? I have a baby in my belly too. You want to see? Uh-oh. And then I said, really? Wow. Okay. What's your baby's name? And he started telling me the name and he was going on and on. So now every time I say that the baby's kicking me, he says, my baby's kicking me.
There you go. He doesn't want you to be alone. You know,
yeah. He's really like, it's like a sympathetic pregnancy or something.
All right, so I'm thinking, Clinton, ever since you gave me the magic gummies this week, which are helping change my sleep routine, could that help Momo in her current condition, or would that be unsafe?
I'm guessing no. I wouldn't be in the THC of the alphabet at this point. Yeah.
Generally speaking, doctors frown on that.
Doctors frown on any type of CBD,
not
THC.
Exactly what I would go with at this point.
I think that's it. Now, Momo, did you do an epidural with Daniel?
So I eventually had to,
right.
But I tried not. So for the first 24 hours, I was like, no, I'm not doing any drugs. I'm not doing an epidural. Then they finally gave me the drugs to make it speed up. Like it's called Pitocin. And that's like labor on steroids. And as soon as I got that, I was like, oh, give me the epidural.
Hit me with the heavy stuff.
When our daughter arrived, like we had a really long labor too. So my wife is just in agony. We get to Cedars. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have an available room for us. So we end up basically, I'm not exaggerating, getting put in like a closet.
Did she give birth in the closet?
No, she did not. We eventually got a room, but we're waiting around. It's basically like in a closet. So this already long, painful labor, we're in a closet. It's humiliating to her. It's aggravating to her. She's mad at me.
Right.
Because at this point. Because
you're there.
Because I'm there. Like I learned very quickly during this, do not speak unless spoken to, say as few words as possible in your response. Then
the truth is, we don't even really want you there.
Right? Like, oh yeah. Oh,
you're the reason we're in this. You can't relate. You might be very nice, but in that moment, it's like
there was
get the hell out.
Nothing good I could bring to the table. Some tech then walks into our closet, recognizes me because he's a huge Laker fan.
What?
And wants to start talking Lakers with
me.
I'm like, dude,
no.
Not the time.
Bro,
not the time. And like my wife is just staring daggers at me. I'm like, I didn't bring this up.
So, true story. My son was born on a Sunday, an NFL Sunday in December. And we went into the hospital early, like 7-8 in the morning, and he arrived at 4:20. And it, like 4:21, something like that. Yeah, it should have been Mason had there. But right as he's getting close, I've had an NFL games on in the room all day. I have the sound turned down, blah, blah, blah. And I look up, and they're telling us he's close. He's 4 or 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
And Brett Favre is leading the Packers down the field against Jacksonville.
I'm getting mad just listening to this.
No. And I said, I look up, I went, man, they're 5 points down. Favre's leading his team down the field. I said, this is really cool. I'm going to make my son a Brett Favre fan. I'm going to get him a jersey. It's going to be part of his story, blah, blah, blah. I lose track of what's happening with the game.
Oh, no.
And a guy knew I was had one eye on it. And so after Jack's born and everything's done, like an hour later, I went, "Hey, what happened in the Packer game?" He goes, "Oh, Favre threw a pick six. They lost." That's like, all right, that's off the table.
Mama, let me ask you a question. Of the things that you've craved from a food standpoint, and this is a awkward segue because I have gifts in the studio that you are not here to get.
Okay.
Did you ever crave a Dodger dog? And perhaps did you ever crave one of the old Dodger dogs as they have changed?
Oh, yeah. Well, like right now, I mean, all I can eat is basically like meat and veggies because I'm doing my little gestational diabetes diet. It's basically paleo. So like I go to Whole Foods and I get all kinds of different like hot dogs and sausages and different kinds of like burgers and whatever, because I'm so bored with food right now.
Well, funny you
but
should
yes,
bring
I
that
would
up
love a really good hot dog.
Because I happen to have a friend, shouts to my man Jeff from Smithfield at Farmer John's, who sent the station a bunch of meats. I have a bag full of meat.
You have a bag full of meat.
You just walked in with a bag full of meat.
The bag full of meat.
He's not joking.
I'm not joking.
Yeah. So if Morales were here, he would find a way to start cooking some of this.
The first thing we have two big things of classic bacon. So you get right the first refusal on all of this, Momo.
Bacon.
Just in case you want to know. Farmer John bacon right here.
Never turn down bacon.
We've also got Hot Louisiana brand smoked sausage.
Ooh.
That could send me into labor.
This could work.
That could send me into labor.
We also have classic Polish sausage made with both pork and chicken, for those of you minding your manners on that one. And we also have thick cut bacon. This is all sorts of stuff. Shout out to my
man, you
Jeff.
Do have a bag of
sausage links. We have thick cut bacon. We also have.
What is that? Doesn't Dan Patrick do Meat Friday on the Peacock Network? I feel like we've got our own meat.
There's
Friday.
A secondary bag
there's
a sec- of meat.
There's a side bag of meat. And it has honey ham thinly sliced. This is going to you, AJ. Because I know you make sandwiches for your children. So
that's true.
Momo, if you want any
nice
of this,
gifts,
please let me know.
That's getting disappeared.
So you know what? This is also begging the question of like, you know when people bring stuff over to your house or you have a party and you have leftovers?
Yeah.
And you don't want to, you have to bring it to the office the next day, or you have to like, because it's just going to sit at your house and you're just going to eat it and you're going to feel shame and bad about yourself later, right? But like, what is the, what are like good things to bring to the office and what are not? Because like, I think like leftover donuts are okay. Like,
somebody brought those in
cake.
Today.
Yeah. Gummies
leftover
obviously
cake.
Work.
Yeah, gummies were a big hit earlier this week.
Bag of meat.
Bag of meat is pretty up there. You know what I mean? Because you can just.
I mean, not it wouldn't
this.
Have been something I thought of, but I think that works.
Okay, so hey, Sedano, what was your prediction for the NBA Finals before last night?
Well, I said Warriors in seven, but I told you yesterday that Boston would win game one.
You did. I remember that. So do you?
You did.
But
you
after did. After wow. seeing the way it played out, George, do you still are you still sticking with Warriors in seven? Or if I gave you a do over, would you lean Celtics now?
I mean, I told you I picked Warriors in seven reluctantly, like
right,
you did.
Me too.
So, I still feel Warriors in seven is possible, but I this is not going to be an easy series for them. I think that there are a number of things. I think they're going to adjust and be fine in game two. But there are a number of players they're going to have to figure out who's going to be in and out of the rotation for the Warriors.
Well, and the weird thing is, the guys last night who were in, like, Otto Porter played great. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Jordan Poole didn't have his best game, but Otto Porter played well. And
Wiggins played well.
And Jason Tatum played terrible, and the Celtics still won.
But here's I thought Wiggins, played well for a half. I didn't think he actually played all that
well. I don't think any Warrior played well for the entire game. And Tatum didn't shoot well, but he actually was a great playmaker.
Yeah,
it was just a weird game. Here's what Stephen A. said about the game, and I think he actually made a good point.
They seemed too big. They seemed too physical. And obviously, they were more than capable of making shots. 9 threes in the fourth quarter. The Golden State Warriors made 7 shots in the entire fourth quarter. This is a very, very bad sign. The series is far from over, but I'll be redundant here. Styles make fights.
Yep.
And the Golden State Warriors, after one game, still look like they are in some serious trouble.
And here's where I'll agree with him, Sedano, is I'm not all that worried about the 9 threes that they made. That's just a team getting hot.
Yeah,
I'm worried about the 16 points the Warriors scored in the fourth quarter. That would be, if I was Steve Kerr, the thing that'd be keeping me up.
Well, the Celtics starting five averages only gives up 95.5 points per 100 possessions. Like, that's pretty incredible in today's NBA.
Number one, right?
Yeah, by a wide margin. That's just their starting. I mean, their defense overall is number one, but their starting five, like, that's historic level stuff good. So, I mean, it's going to be really tough. I will say this. I'm a little jealous that I'm not on this series only because you can get some of the best seafood you could ever get between the two cities.
Yeah, that's a good point. True. I mean, I think Draymond's point about it's just one game. If it were any other team, I don't necessarily know that I would feel that way. But a team like the Warriors, they know what they're looking for. They faced a bunch of different opponents. I can understand
also dominated the whole game until the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Well, wait a minute, Momo. They didn't dominate it. The Celtics were up at halftime.
Yeah, okay, I felt the Warriors had control of that.
I don't know that I felt that the Celtics were going to win that game until they were winning.
Here's what happened.
You know, like
the Warriors got up big, got up 15 points in the third, 12 going into the fourth. They thought that game was over. Because usually what happens to the Warriors in game one is they win. Because when they have that avalanche, they win. So this team is not built that way. Like this is not even the first iteration pre-KD Warriors. This is a team with young players, particularly one they count on in Jordan Poole, and an older group of guys, including a Klay Thompson, who is, as much as we love Klay and we love Michael, like he's not as dependable as he once was, and he may be down the road again, but this season has been very up and down for him.
Well, and the one thing that jumped out at me about Klay last night was Jaylen Brown kind of did what he wanted in the fourth quarter. And Klay was guarding him the whole time. And Klay used to be a lockdown defender.
And Draymond is an offensive liability at this point.
Well, kind of always has been. Right?
No, but he used to be more accountable offensively. He used to look for a shot more, even if he wasn't a scorer. You can see he does not want to put up shots at all. Still a great playmaker. But you start getting into these weird places where if you've got Looney out there and Draymond out there, it starts turning into 4-on-5, 3.5
They're passing up shots, and it's totally changing.
And then
Steph
had a very quietly erratic game. He put up 21 in the first quarter, and from there, he didn't make shots. He was 5 of 16 for the last three quarters.
All right, so let me ask you this: clam chowder, or one of those is it Cioppino? Is that how you say it?
Cioppino.
Soups from San Francisco, the famous ones with the clams and the mussels.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder is a can't miss.
We're going with the
really?
Standard.
I hate clam chowder.
Are we going with New England, Manhattan, or Maryland?
No, New England, obviously.
What color is Maryland?
Maryland is sort of like a more clear, it's like a clear based.
No. Yeah.
It's
want all the cream.
Like
more cream.
It's not like a it's more like an Italian.
See, I don't
wedding,
like creamy soup.
But it's got seafood. Yeah.
There's a
I like brothy soup.
Well, yeah, then you would like the Manhattan better, but George, there's a place on the wharf near Pier 39 that serves clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Oh yeah, the Foghorn restaurant.
And it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
I think you can get it
at Chase too. I think there's one of the.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't really.
I'm not getting anything
Chase
in a bread
much.
Bowl at an arena. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Well, what's weird about that arena, Clinton, is it's very hoity-toity.
I get that.
They have nothing but high. Like hey, there's sushi in that arena.
We officially have 2 minutes left in our show, and I have the president of the Handsome Man community here on the show.
Yes.
And we have not talked about the Jubilee, Clinton, the entire show. And I've been waiting patiently like the chick who wants to come in and talk about the
Ramona,
Royals.
Explain
and
to
I
me
feel
what
like Clinton's going to have my back on this.
Okay,
right?
Explain what the Jubilee is. I know it has to do with the Queen of England and
it's a celebration of the Queen.
Okay. But is it her birthday?
No, she's been on the throne for 70 years.
Yes.
Okay. And
she's
and
so old. She's been on the throne for 70 years.
Ancient. So what's your question though, Momo?
Like, are you following? Like, what is the best part of the Jubilee? Is it the hats? Is it the fashion? Is it who's there?
I think it's who's there. And right now, because of the Meghan Markle situation, also the friction is a good part of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people literally left the actual royal throne. This is more interesting than there used to be a time. Where,
like, Meghan and Harry showed up.
Exactly. Palace
this
intrigue
is, big news.
Is real. Yeah, and if you pull up after you have already left, it's a thing, man. You know what I'm saying? So
are they showing up?
I love that part, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so I'm guessing, Sedano, that this will come up in mass during your show?
Not necessarily. We can refer to it, but to Momo's point, for those of us in, the Diplo brats, as I like to call them, world citizens who have friends from all over the place. It's a huge deal. By the way, the memes of the Queen You know what I mean? Are some of the funniest things you'll see online today, Momo. Check those out. A lot of funny, like,
the memes of the queen.
Photoshops of her, like, doing modern stuff that obviously she never does. Hilarious.
All right. Now, Momo, this may be the last time we talk to you, so good luck with the baby.
Yes.
Keep us posted. I hope the kid shows up tonight or tomorrow morning and saves you the
Sunday,
hassle.
Monday, anytime, man. Anytime, you know. Nope. Let him come.
Go color, man. Go color.
Okay, coming up next, Sedano and CY, Clinton Yates. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Momo. Good luck, Ramona.
We have the meat.
Thanks. I'll let you know.
All right.
See y'all.
ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bam ba da bump. Bam ba da bump. Boom beep boo doo boop. Bam boo doom bump. Ba dum bing bump.
What's up, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. Like I said, I just walked in here with a bag full of meat. Shouts to my friend Jeff at Smithfield. You know what happened, actually, to be real? Mm-hmm. I was talking on this show about how I hadn't been to an LAFC game all season. He was listening.
Oh, it's so good.
And he invited me out. And so we went. And then next thing you know, Bag of Meat shows up at the radio station. How about that?
There you go.
Yes.
I love it. I see the picture of Bag of Meats as Laura has tweeted them out.
Yeah, that's what it is. So the Memorial Day weekend was last weekend, so the grilling opportunity might not be there for some people. But for those who are interested.
I mean, you could grill really anytime.
Yeah, basically. Really
have to bacon is there.
That's what's cool about California. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't make it 48 hours on the fast.
Okay.
I got too cocky. I woke up feeling good, and I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm good. I can make it another, you know, whatever it is. I'm at it. So I woke up probably around 7, so I needed another 10 hours.
All right.
And yeah, at about hour 42, I was like, ooh, I'm starting to get hungry. I'm going to drink more water. And 2 hours into that, I was like, I got to pick up the kids. I'm hungry. I'm going to be a little hangry soon. The water's not working the same way anymore. I'm going to eat something. So 44. I made 44 straight hours fasting.
Well, you should be lucky that you're not here in the studio. There are donuts here.
It's National Donut Day. Because
it is National Donut Day. Yeah. Although Mason told me I brought donuts on National Donut Day 2 days ago.
Right, because Mason needs multiple National Donut Days.
Oh.
Yeah. I did see that donuts. Randy's Donuts was giving away a free donut from 6 to noon today. There's a Randy's Donuts by me in Torrance. There's a new one that just opened in Glendale, I want to say. Or was it Burbank? One or the other.
Burbank.
But Randy's Donuts is open up everywhere. Have you been to Randy's Donuts, Clinton, as a new Angelino?
I have not, but I got to tell you, donuts are something where I become one of the oldest men in Old Manistan. I eat plain bread donuts. Like, they're called old-fashioned.
Like the old-fashioned cake ones.
But the glazed ones or no?
No, nothing.
No, no glaze. Just old-fashioned cake.
Bread. Yeah, exactly. Those are the donuts I like. And I don't necessarily dunk them. I might do that on occasion, but, like, those are my favorite kind of donuts. Yeah, just bread. I know.
So you would, like, if I took you to Randy's Donuts. Now, they have the old-fashioned cake, obviously, there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, any donut shop, reputable donut shop. But if I took you there, you wouldn't try, like, the Nutella with, like, the graham cracker crust crumbs?
Probably not. Donuts are more of a coffee vehicle for me. It's something you eat when you drink coffee. It's not, like, a standalone thing that I'm going out of my way to knock down. Not anymore. Back in the day when I used
to. Because I feel like the donut game. You got to get hipper to the donut game. Then
do you
I feel
think
like.
So? What exactly?
Listen, you are a man who is open to new things.
Sure.
I don't think there's any question about that. So I feel like we need to take a field trip. Like we need to go to a Randy's Donuts.
I could do that.
And you need to now. What we do is maybe we buy a number of them and then we can cut them in pieces and you can just have pieces.
Sure.
That way you're not eating
now,
a
I don't
million
have to bring
donuts.
Out full donuts. Because that reason right there that you just stated, I gotta say, I'm a little bit of a snob. Donuts kind of boorish, you know what I'm saying? As like a breakfast thing. I feel like they're very.
No, to me it's not a breakfast thing. It's actually a dessert.
Okay, all right. I never really found the place in my life where I'm supposed to be eating donuts, and I used to eat them all the time in high school when I would partake. But those are like me getting the mini donuts and just stuffing them all into my face.
Right,
you
but
know
that's
what
not
saying?
The same.
That's not the same, right?
L.A. is a donut city,
right?
And the way you know it's a donut city is because there's a lot of mom and pop places and very few.
That's true.
Of the brand name chain places.
That's true. There's one down the street from my house, and I go to that, and the place is packed at all times.
Yeah.
It's not a chain.
It's a good point.
So I think that that's the thing that you have to think about. Like, okay. So what we do is we'll take you to a Randy's Donuts. We will, you know, it could be the one near the airport. It could be, which I believe is the original, if I recall correctly.
I think that's the original, yeah.
Yeah. And then, or we could take you to the one in Torrance. Maybe if we're near the station, we can just drive up to Burbank. We, you know, we could figure this out. And what we'll do is we'll order, you know, maybe six different of the fancy donuts, cut them up. We'll take a couple people with us. That way everybody can have a little piece. Maybe cut them in fours. And then you can have like four, you know, try four different things or maybe all six or whatever.
When we do that, we got to make sure to bring my girlfriend. She loves donuts. So I'm relatively familiar with the donuts.
Does your girlfriend have a name or are we just going to refer to her as your girlfriend?
We call her J-Girl. That's her name. So
J-Girl. Okay.
Her first name
that works
starts
for me.
With a J and I don't want to be out here yelling her name all over the radio. But so she loves donuts. So yeah.
Speaking of Jay, future Dodger, even though the Nationals say he's not available, Juan Soto just homered right now.
Actually. Really? By the way, that's a whole
other discussion.
Hashtag
future Dodger.
That's a whole other discussion, by the way. If you were buying a baseball team, would you want Juan Soto to definitely be there? And would you but here's what I'm going to say. If you're buying the team, are you going to say you have to sign him first? Or are you going to say we'll take the contract because we want to negotiate with him on our own? And if you're Soto, what would you rather happen? Think about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you rather they sell the team before you sign with them? Because the possibility is somebody might buy it and be like, you're worth more than that, and we want you here. But there's also the possibility that they're like, actually, we're going to trade you too. You know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever, because we don't want that kind of overhead.
I mean, really care. I mean, whoever's going to give me the most money, whoever, can I negotiate with both sides? Like, is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting question as to, like, how this is going to go down for Soto and the team anyway.
Yeah. I thought you were going to ask me if I could buy a team, like any team, would I put Juan Soto on it? I just thought that was the simple answer. The answer to that is, of course,
absolutely
yes.
You know, that guy's a monster. I love him.
Yeah. By the way, I feel like if you're the Nationals and you're not going to trade Juan Soto, like I guess you don't, I get it. You don't want to trade him to the Dodgers because everyone just assumes that that's the case. But you've already traded Trey Turner to the Dodgers, so why not?
No, I don't think that the Nats are a type of team that's in a position to be like, we're not trading to interconference.
Right, you've already done the deal for a guy who was an MVP candidate.
And not to mention your team is going straight into the tank. Like, this is not some situation where you're perennially going to be there. They were the buzzsaw the year that they won. It's not coming back anytime soon.
Now, do you believe they're actually not going to deal Juan Soto to the Dodgers? Because the Dodgers are the team that have arguably the best haul for them.
I do believe that mainly because I think Rizzo is just a little bit too egomaniacal to give up a guy like Soto. I think he considers himself a little bit of a kingmaker in terms of like, I'm the one who makes the moves. They're the ones who do the performing. If he gives that away, sort of whatever his shiny toy is not there selling a team or not, you know?
Yeah. Bergman, before I get to you and your beef with Laura on Twitter,
it's a massive beef. We're at each other's throat all the time.
If Juan Soto were to come to the Dodgers, like was rumored before the Nationals said, we're not trading him. What would the outfield look like in that situation?
Well, I mean, you would actually he's a right fielder, right, Clinton?
Right.
So I mean, that's where Mookie Betts plays. But I feel like if you can play right field, you can probably play left field. So you would probably move him to left. So it'd be Soto, Bellinger, and Betts. Which is a pretty solid outfield, if you ask me.
I mean, solid, sure.
Yeah, so I would be totally fine with that. Taylor would get moved in some sense.
I think Taylor's
your doppelganger.
Sure.
Yes, my doppelganger.
Because there's
be
no way you're
base,
moving Bellinger out of center. I mean, unless you were going to move Mookie to center and then move Soto to right and then figure something out in left, but I don't necessarily think you want to do that.
No. Bellinger has to play center field. He made a play last night that was one of the most ridiculous plays
I've
seen.
Oh, he's tremendous in the field. No,
he ran like 30 yards and caught a ball. Like it was a line drive. It was beautiful.
Guy could play wide out for the Rams.
Yes.
I mean, he could. Speaking of which, there's a Cooper Kupp story in the New York Post that I want to get to a little later where he's very bullish on Allen Robinson as a wide receiver with this particular group. But we'll get to that later. But, Greg, tell me about your beef with Laura on Twitter. What happened?
For Laura.
So, what's this? Because we always play the whole this one.
Hey, guys. For Laura.
And then we went out and we saw Taylor. So I said, hashtag vote for Taylor. Because I was like, I was proud of him. I thought it was great. And I was giving him some love. And then Laura was like, why don't you ever give me a hashtag? And I said, hashtag vote for Laura. I can't do it.
So rude.
Wow.
That's funny.
So there was a little bit of beef there, but you know.
This was inside the community, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By the way, the community. Can I just say this, George? The community is great. I check the community frequently. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's in there, you know, just adding things that, you know, may or may not be things we talk about on the show. Like, this has worked out. Mm. I would like to say well beyond what I thought this was capable of. I'm not even joking about that.
I think for the most part, there's not a lot of negativity in there, which is what I was hoping for.
Right. Not a lot of bad actors, as we like to say.
You know, right. Everyone generally is nice in there and, you know, posting funny stuff about the... except Greg, right?
Yeah, here we go.
Posting stuff about either the show or stuff they're doing, like they're watching when they're watching sports, or there is a real community. So if you want to be part of the Sedano and Cap circle of trust on Twitter, if you go to the communities section on Twitter, you can just put us in the search and you can join the community. There, you know, I like it because it's kind of like smallish at the moment. Yeah. It's like 500-600 people, which is nice. It's manageable that way. If it gets larger, I'm kind of worried, but, you know, we'll figure that out if it gets there.
You know what I really love about this community is that you, Sedano, and Laura, and Kaplan, and Lindsay all post in there, and pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So, no, which I think is great.
We have another one. Did you guys notice?
Yeah, there's a new one.
There's a new
ESPN LA Superfans one.
Really?
ESPN LA Superfans.
I'm not familiar with that.
That I noticed that Greg Morales and the station monitor. I was like, ooh, I got to be careful where I post now.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't, like...
Hold on, how do I find that community?
I don't know. They added me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody added me.
Nobody added
how,
me either.
How are we not adding
Oh, maybe
you guys
all did it at Taylor's concert.
No.
Maybe.
Actually, I think it did pop up while we were there.
Oh,
no lie.
Convenient.
But now, that's why I texted the group the other day, like our, you know, Sedano and Cap, like Lindsay and all of us. I was like, yo, we got to be careful which community we post in. Because one's like... the stations and the other ones like
where is this I can't find it.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Why is the station doing a community?
I don't know. It was
kind of monitor.
I'm moderator. They made me a moderator. I didn't even know about it until they made me.
I mean, why does the station have to steal our thing?
I honestly am agreeing with you on this. Ooh. I think that it should have been just your thing. Like, we tried to do the Reddit thing on Mason Island.
Didn't
that was a disaster.
Yeah, well, Reddit is also like a cesspool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It makes
so
Twitter
bad.
Blush. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like, yeah. Reddit is not
that was,
for the
that
fate
was a
of
weird
heart
one.
At all.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So we have competing communities now?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That does seem a little counterintuitive.
I just sent it to you guys.
Whose idea was that, Greg? Tell me.
I honestly have no clue. I was with Laura, and she's like, oh, hey, we have a new community. And I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they added us randomly.
And then I was like, oh, I guess I got one too.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea what it is.
No, not interested in that community.
I'm going to it now. It says ESPN. Okay, here we go. It says ESPN LA Superfans. We want to celebrate and reward the best listeners in the world. Our ESPN 710 Army of Ambassadors. Stay tuned for special access contests and more. Now, George, to be fair, I think the idea here is that the idea was so good that it can be expanded upon.
That they're no, but they're enticing them with prizes, is what they're doing.
That's fair, though. I mean, it's a radio station. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I get it.
I just
but,
think,
you know,
have good prizes,
make up your
George.
Own thing somewhere else.
I think you should take pride in.
Use a different platform. Now I'm going to have to leave Twitter and go to a different platform.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to go to? You're going to go to, like, a
TikTok?
Discord?
Go to TikTok.
Ooh, we Discord. Could start a Discord. That would actually be interesting.
Yo, that's a... Never mind. You
if
know,
you go to Discord, you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want.
Yeah.
This may or may not be true, and how a lot of us got degrees may or may not be true. I'm just saying.
Discord, the problem with Discord is that it's more talking. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's a lot of talking.
There's a lot of talking on Discord.
I don't think I got time for that.
That's moving into the Twitch realm, which is a totally different type of world of streaming. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. I'll have to weigh my options here is what I'll say. Maybe in my next contract negotiation, we'll figure something out.
Says shut the Superfans community is invite only. I don't know anything about this, so this is weird. You need a golden ticket to get in from Starfish and Coffee. I don't know.
As a matter of fact, Beto actually just tweeted to the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust community, of course, which is the only community you should be a part of. And he's having a Tecate Light, and I see some food there. Ooh, wow, that looks good. What is that, Laura? What is it that he's got there?
Oh, this is a nice setup.
I see some shrimp.
He's got the tahine rim going.
I need to go check this out because
he's got the tahine rim going on the
like a ceviche.
He's actually in Mexico. He's calling a fight from Mexico.
Right there.
What is
in Obregón?
So this is something between a soup and a salsa. Like, what is the consistency of this liquid in terms of?
It's probably like a cocktail, like a but it's an
like a ceviche almost.
No, like un shrimp cocktail. I may super be wrong. Like,
why did you do? Why did you do that in like Spanglish? Un shrimp cocktail.
I don't know. That's how I talk normally. But because he's in Mexico, it's in a molcajete instead of like a regular bowl, you know.
That sounds like something like Cap would have said. Well, cocktail.
I speak a lot of Spanglish, and I try to either keep it to English here or Spanish. You know, I don't like to mix it because Beto gets mad at me all the time.
Right. Told you. These are my favorite things. Cachorrade, palmolive, vaporube.
Fabuloso.
These are my greatest, the greatest things in the world.
All right, listen, coming up next, I wanted to give some distance from our conversation during Crosstalk to when I wanted to get into the NBA Finals because there's a couple of twists here that I wasn't necessarily expecting. So we'll get to some of that. And kind of filter through the noise, as I like to call it. We'll get to that on the other side. We're back in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ah, andale. So Beto texts me. He is listening from Oregon. He's doing a fight there for somebody.
On the ESPN LA app?
And he's listening on the ESPN LA app, which you can download as well. Just go to your app store, regardless of your phone, and type in ESPN space, you know, like hit the space bar, and then LA, and then you'll find it. And you can listen that way as well. And you can join the community on Twitter by joining the... going to Twitter and going to communities and then look for Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. So real quick, Beto did text me because he's listening that the dish that he's having with the shrimp and the octopus is called molcajete.
Okay.
Are you familiar, Laura, with molcajete?
I said it was a molcajete. But
oh, yes. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, can we describe to people what a molcajete is?
Okay, there's many different types of molcajetes, right? So I like the one where it has like shrimp and carne asada and pollo asado, and then it has like the chile. So that's one. And then this one is like a seafood one because it seems like that's what he's having.
Mixto, if you will.
Yeah. So it just depends on which one you want.
Gotcha.
Greg, would you try anything like that? Because you're kind of, I feel like you're a little bit of a picky eater, Greg.
Oh, I can be a little bit of a picky eater, but no, I'll try most things as long as there's not too much spice.
Why did you,
Actually, because I was going to be like, no, but you know what? I give it up to Greg because when we went to go see Taylor at the Lighthouse Cafe, we tried the chorizo nachos because, you know, let's just be real. They didn't have a lot of options. Right. And Greg does not like beans.
Nope.
Pero he still ate the nachos and he just took out the beans.
No. Yeah.
So I'm like, hey.
I can
move
around things. But see, this is why we sometimes have beef, though, Laura, is because you started off with the
See, this is what sensitive.
Well, Bergman is specific, though. He can't eat, like, red meat after 7 o'clock or whatever it is. Like, there's no beans.
Turn into a gremlin? One of those deals?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here. No, you know, all I'm saying.
It's a stomach issue, Clinton.
I get it. We've talked about this. Don't want to trip a wire.
Yes, we do not want to trip a wire. And if you want me to stay in the studio longer than I need to be.
Still one of my favorite terms of all time from Greg. Don't trip a wire. It's exactly what I live with a lot.
That's the Jewish stomach.
I get it.
Yeah. So Clinton.
Yes.
There's gonna be some segments here where, you know, and I love these kind of segments because it's the, I like to call them, you should have listened to me. And we start off with just now there's a Lakers version of this for later in the show. But the Boston Celtics did win game one.
They did.
And you said it was
rust versus rest, and you had more trust in the lack of rust on the Celtics.
Well, I felt that the Celtics would eventually feel more like in tune with their own player. Like basically they'd be more finely tuned for this particular event than the Warriors. Now the Warriors started off on fire, but as the game evolved, they looked tired. They looked out of sorts. I think Boston did a lot of that to them. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like just the layoff I don't think just the layoff is a thing at the beginning of a game. I think the layoff can affect your conditioning. I think the layoff can affect a number of different levels of the game.
I think it can affect your focus too. And that's what it seemed to be at the end. They were just, that's the thing about fatigue is that the mental mistakes start to multiply. And look, I understand you're right about this, George. And I'm not saying that I didn't think it was a not groundbreaking thing, but you were right in the sense that, like,
they did not look as sharp in total. And I think
it was just Steph basically who looked sharp.
You know, but I do think that that's something. This is why sort of when John was asking, you know, are either of us going to change our prediction? I don't need to change it because ultimately that's why you play a series. You might have a game like that. You know what I mean? And this is a team that I think can adjust to that as well as any from a veteran standpoint, never mind a personnel standpoint. You know, they got a lot of – they didn't have a great game, and they lost. It's the NBA Finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, this happens, and the late streak by the Celtics is one thing. Steph being the only guy that was really filling it up for a certain part of the game is another, but this is a team game. I think the Celtics played well. I think it's fair to say they stole that game, and I think that the Warriors are going to bounce back.
I do as well. I think the Warriors are going to win game two because I think there'll be real adjustments. But here's the thing that's interesting to me. So when I watched the two previous Boston series that went seven, Milwaukee and Miami, what those teams did that gave Boston a little more trouble, because Boston is bigger than everybody. They played two bigs to start the game, right, which doesn't really happen all that often. I know the Warriors did too, but you know, Kevon Looney doesn't play a ton of minutes.
No.
So, but the Celtics play Al Horford and Robert Williams a lot of minutes in theory. But so what gave them a little bit of trouble as time went on in those series was that both Milwaukee and Miami went smaller. Now, Milwaukee going small meant Giannis basically playing center. And now Miami going small, it meant either Bam or PJ Tucker playing center. And, you know, they were really small out there, and it kind of did kind of change the series in game six for sure. And game seven came down to almost one of the most heartbreaking Celtics losses in history, had Jimmy Butler just had that thing a little more online.
Right.
So I think for the Warriors, now, again, hear me out here. I think that the adjustment for them is to go smaller, which means I think Draymond Green has to play a bigger role in this. And it doesn't mean that Draymond Green has to, you know, be some sort of offensive force. He just needs to be Draymond Green, which is on offense. He needs to handle the ball in crunch time. He needs to be the main facilitator. He also on defense needs to wreak havoc, which is rebound, box out, be physical, because he's really their only, him and Looney are their only physical players. The rest of the Warriors teams are fairly, I guess the best way to describe it is that they're more finesse is the way I would describe it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. In game one, while I still think that's the adjustment to be made, in game one, when the Celtics went to one big, they crushed the Warriors. Like, they, I want to say in like 18 minutes, they were like a plus 30 when they only had either Al Horford or Robert Williams on the floor.
Which doesn't go well.
Yeah. So I still think the adjustment is still that. Because I think that those numbers can be overinflated for two reasons. Here are my two reasons.
Okay.
Number one, I believe a good chunk of those minutes were also the Warriors trying to match up by playing Poole and Curry together. And those two together were a minus 13. And then the other part of it is, I agree with Draymond. I don't think that Marcus Smart, Derek White, Al Horford are going to shoot whatever it was, 17 of 23 from three again. Like that, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either, but I do. And listen, the reason why I think that this is, I don't want to say just another game, because that doesn't really make sense in the finals. Draymond led the team in rebounds and in assists. And to me, this was a bad game. It happens where sometimes execution just matters, George. You know what I'm saying? You talk about make or miss leagues and this, that, and a third. I don't know. Yes. Do I think the adjustments from a size standpoint make sense for what you break down, George? Absolutely. But I also don't know that this wasn't a game where you said, if we finish this game from a mental and a physical standpoint, we can win. You know, there was nothing that I looked at and thought, wow, this is going to be, as Stephen A. said, this is going to be a huge problem because they're out-physicaled. I just thought that the ball didn't fall the way they wanted it to, and there were certain things that, from a matchup standpoint, sure might have gotten exploited from Boston's advantage, but I don't know that you're going to go through a whole ton of different rotation changes and still be able to beat Boston. I think you've got to execute sort of what you do a little better, and you've got to trust it.
Jordan Poole sucked. Let's also be honest.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's been a big part of what they did. I mean, the reason Jordan Poole, And he's a great story, right? They draft him late in the first round. He goes to the G League to work the kinks out. At the end of last year, they were incredible with him and Draymond and Steph. They went 15-5 to get themselves into the play-in area. Obviously, they lost the first game to Memphis and then lost to the Lakers. Or, I'm sorry, lost to the Lakers and then lost the next game to Memphis. And he's been a big part of what they did this year, particularly when guys were hurt. But here's the thing with him. He's bad on defense. Like, he's just not good. He's also really young, so it's kind of tough. But I don't know if he'll ever be great on defense. So if he's not scoring in the kind of 17-20 range, I don't know how playable he actually is for you.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, can you make that determination after one game?
No, but you don't have a ton more time. You can't go down 0-2.
No, well, I mean, you can go down 0-2, but I mean, I think you've got this is the game where you figure that out. I say this all the time when it comes to teams, particularly with roster construction similarly. Like, oh, we got to get this, we got to get that. Sometimes you just got to get better. And I think that Jordan Poole is one of those players. You can't have 4 turnovers and only 9 points. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a bad game, and I trust that the Warriors are going to bounce back more than I trust that the Celtics are going to continue the kind of torrid streak that they were on last night is where I'm at.
Look, the fourth quarter was just they didn't miss, right? So there's that. But it did also throw a wrench in our hashtag bleep Boston mechanism that we have here on the show these last couple weeks. It really is throwing a wrench in this. Like, I mean, maybe I guess if the final ending is they lose in 7, and because we almost had the heartbreak, as I mentioned earlier, where could you imagine if the Celtics would have lost on a – 3-pointer basically like with seconds to go from Jimmy Butler, like after, you know, having a 13-point lead with 3 minutes to go. Like, that would have been epic enough, and Laker fans could have rejoiced in that. So maybe the ultimate pain is losing the finals in game 7, and that could be kind of the solace here. But
if Butler had hit that shot, the gifts we would have gotten out of that would be tremendous. That guy makes the best faces of anybody in the NBA.
Well, right. It would have been fantastic for Twitter. I don't think there's any question about that. But I do think that there's a lot of questions here when it comes to the Warriors, and we can get to some of those. I do want to get into the Boston aspect of this, though, because I do believe there is a couple of aspects that have been undersold when it comes to the Celtics. And I know nobody here wants to give anybody credit on the Celtics, but we're trying to play it down the middle here. And at 4:45... Okay. It's not really because we're doing Bleep Boston, but you get my point. We're going to try to fake being down the middle, okay? So what was that? I'm sorry?
Boston.
Boston.
And then at 4:45, we got some Dodger talk because I do think that this matchup the Dodgers are in right now with the Mets can be foretelling. I'll tell you what that means at 4:45. So stick around. CY in for Cap, Sedano, and Cap. 710 ESPN. I feel like this is a Greg Bergman song here.
This is a great song.
I love Sublime.
Everybody loves Sublime.
I love this song.
Yes.
That's what's great about Sublime. You very rarely find someone that says, yeah, I don't like them.
I mean, the rare time you find that is when you find somebody who was concurrent with them in high school, and if, like, the D-bags at your school were the ones who liked Sublime, then you might be pushed away from it, but, like, I don't know anybody who's whack who likes Sublime.
Yeah, I mean, I like their music. I think that generally I they have a very easy sound is the way I would describe it.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. They were the universal thing that everybody liked in, like, ninth grade when I was growing up.
Absolutely. You
know, across the board.
Driving down the beach, windows down. This is perfect. Perfect.
It's great.
See, I prefer more almost at dusk as the sun is setting.
Ooh, really? That's a good one, too.
Yeah, I will sometimes get up and play their self-titled album all day, straight up. Like, if I'm not doing anything, I'll be like, this is what I'm rocking pretty much all day. It's great.
40 Ounces of Freedom was the first CD that I ever bought.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting timestamp for you, Greg. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Ton of sense.
By the way, I always like to look at Twitter and see what's trending before we get into the Celtics part of this equation. And Olive Garden is trending, and I was like, is Olive Garden going out of business? Like, what's happening? And it really is just a tweet that went viral. And this tweet has 130,000 likes. It's pretty funny.
Hold on, so I'm typing in Olive Garden into my search?
Yeah, and it's a young lady called Nubine Queen, and she wrote, I grew up thinking Olive Garden and Red Lobster were five-star fine dining restaurants. And she has the three crying, laughing emojis. And I got to be honest, you know, when I was a little kid, that's the way I looked at it. Yeah, like to me, like I thought, man, we're going to Olive Garden. This is going to be nice, you know?
That's the way they market that. There's a whole subset of Twitter that's like, things I realized when I was a grown adult that I had no idea about when I was a kid. And they're often very funny. And this is definitely one of those.
Yeah, like I've always told this story. I used to love, when I was a kid, I loved Sizzler, right?
We going Sizzler.
Yeah, Sizzler was great when I was a kid. I loved Sizzler. And I remember, man, I want to say like, had to have been like over a decade ago. And I was in the mood. I was like, man, I loved Sizzler when I was a kid growing up. This, that, and the other. And there was a Sizzler in like, I want to say like right near like the Del Rey, Marina Del Rey area-ish.
Yeah.
Like Santa Monica-ish area. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to hit that Sizzler up. And I hit it up. And I used to love, when I was a kid, the Malibu chicken. And the Malibu chicken, in retrospect, is just a patty of chicken, okay, with some ham and like some Swiss cheese on top. Like, it's not really that fancy.
Not the most creative dish, no.
No, but as a kid, I loved it. And I went and I had it as an adult, and I hadn't had it in, my God, I mean, probably like at that point, 15 years. And I was like, wow, my taste buds have gotten a lot. My palate is so much more refined than when I was like 12 or 13 years
old.
He's
like, I can never take PJ Carlissimo here. He'd throw me out of the radio booth.
I mean, it really was terrible. Like, I was like, man, this was a bad idea. But nonetheless, I got, you know, at least I did it. And, you know, but yeah, it was funny, man.
I couldn't tell you the last time I stepped in an Olive Garden. I know the last time I stepped in a
But Olive Garden still got to be pretty decent. Like, the breadsticks and the salad at the very least are
going to be good.
That's
all people ever say. What else is on the menu at Olive Garden?
Well, the tour of Italy, right?
All people talk about are the breadsticks and the salad.
Yeah, but tour of Italy.
I don't know what that is either. I haven't been to a Olive
Garden. Oh, the tour
decades.
Of Italy is like a, it's like a big plate of like a bunch of different things. You know what I mean? Like the Italian favorites, basically, is what we're calling it.
Okay.
You know?
Well, that's not, that's a little bit outside of my jurisdiction, not my ministry, as we like to say, but you know, I'll take your word for it. Last time I was at Sizzler, I was with Julian because it was two Halloweens ago. I dressed up as Wesley Snipes, a.k.a. Sidney Dean from White Men Can't Jump. Julian dressed up as Junior, Kadeem Hardison's character, and after we did the show, we went to Venice Beach, shot some hoops, and then we went to Sizzler. Real talk, in our outfits, it was great.
Huh.
Yeah, ton of fun. So
yeah,
I've never been to Sizzler, what? Red Lobster, Olive Garden.
You've never been
them.
To wait. You've never been to Olive Garden, Sizzler, or
none. Not or, one.
What was the other problems. One you said?
Rich people. No, I just didn't. I was not allowed to go when I was.
Wait. So Olive Garden,
me.
Sizzler, and what was the other one?
Red Lobster.
Never?
Not once.
You not even for the biscuits at Red Lobster?
No.
Ugh, never.
All I know strong. About Olive Garden is the breadsticks.
Right.
Which sounds...
But you've never been.
No, never been. Not to
oh,
one
Oh, Greg, we got to take you to these places.
Okay. I'm happy to go.
Hold on.
I was a big Chili's guy.
Hold on. That's what I was going
TGIF.
To say is...
TGIF, yeah.
What I was going to say is, which American restaurant was your go-to?
Chili's.
But you answered my question.
Yeah, yeah.
Chili's.
As a growing up, like your parents?
Yeah, we go to Chili's.
Big Chili's family?
Yeah, big Chili's family.
Although, does Chili's still have that skillet queso, you know, thing?
Yeah,
that
I
was
think
not
they terrible.
They did back then, yeah, and it was delicious back then.
Not terrible.
No. TGI Fridays had one of those, too.
But that's also not hard to make. You know?
No. Queso.
Most of
it's not like
places,
it takes some culinary expert to make that.
Right. Most of these places are making things that you just kind of don't feel like making at home.
I mean, true.
That's really what we're
see,
talking about.
See, for me, we didn't really go out to places like that.
Whoa.
It was.
I didn't realize there's an Olive. I knew there was one near me in Torrance, but there's one in Manhattan Beach near the Ireland Estate. I feel like that's where we need to go.
Is that so?
Yeah.
As long as he pays for it, yeah. You know, I'm all for it.
I mean, Olive Garden is not necessarily
not
breaking
expensive.
The bank for any of us
yeah.
around here.
No, okay. Yeah.
We're
I
okay.
mean. All right. Speak for y'all.
No, come on, please. I mean, it is not far from the Ireland Estate.
But I mean, is it really worth it to go to an Olive Garden?
No.
Like, is that
we go for lunch?
Lunch.
That's
okay.
That's not a bad idea. That's a good lunch idea. I'm down.
Yeah, I'm not saying let's go for dinner. You know what
you
I mean?
Want to but... go shut down the Olive Garden? So, okay, let me ask you this: is an Olive Garden a place that has a bar dedicated in it?
No.
Like, can you go?
I
to
don't
Olive
know.
Garden
no. I haven't been in
bar.
One since I was like
no.
probably in high school or college. So
right.
I don't remember.
I can answer this. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
You know
I
what does? You know what does?
Chili's.
Chili's does have a bar.
Yo, yes. TGIF was the thing like for us for a long time, and then during the pandemic, after they reopened, I was like, yeah, why?
Yeah, there's
well,
a lot of that.
And Chili's used to have the what do they call it? They used to have the 2-for-1 deals for happy hour too, all the time, which was fantastic.
Well, I mean, let's not act like what Chili's most tremendous American export is. It's the Baby Back Ribs commercial.
Well,
which
yeah.
is
I get my baby back.
The
baby
greatest
baby back, baby
commercials
back.
In Jeez. American television history. If you've never seen that commercial, if you've never seen the making of it with the actual dude singing it, you need to look that up. Because the commercial is one thing. There's a studio footage clip of them actually doing it and kind of goofing off with some outtakes, George. It's fantastic. You should check that
right.
out. I might post it in the, what's it called?
In community. The community.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Sizzler, I mean, you don't have to go to Sizzler, Greg, but the, there's really nothing there for you. And then, Red Lobster, I mean, the biscuits are delicious.
So Red Lobster was one of those places where that tweet that you read, I thought that was a 5-star dining restaurant for sure. And that's why I thought my parents would never take me. It was because it was like just too expensive. It had lobster in the name, right? So I was like, oh, okay, this is what they just don't want to take me to go get lobster. But apparently it's because it wasn't all that good.
I mean, you know, I haven't been there in a long time.
Reading from the community, this guy, Starfish and Coffee, I don't know if this is the guy, pardon me, Starfish and Coffee says, in my L.A. Daily News days, there was a joke that if we ever won the lottery, we were going to go to Red Lobster to celebrate. It was rooted in a story about someone who won the lottery, and they wanted to go someplace fancy like Red Lobster to celebrate. So
there you go.
That's funny.
All right, so the Celtics were celebrating yesterday, and I think that there was one thing, and you weren't alone on this, CY. I mean, I was kind of, you know, there with you in a lot of ways. About the experience factor, right, going into this particular series. But one thing I noticed as the game got started, I started to kind of look up some of the numbers mm-hmm. of playoff experience on the Boston roster while they had none in finals experience. Al Horford's played in over 120 playoff games.
This is true. He's been around for a while.
Marcus Smart is around 80 to 90. Even Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have played like 60 playoff games at this stage of their career.
Right.
So, like, even though they don't have finals experience, there's plenty of playoff experience on this roster.
I think on top of that, too, there's a hunger element there that is quite interesting. You know, when you play that many games in the playoffs and you finally get to the finals, yeah, you're ready. I think, you know, just in retrospect, and I don't want to be a results-based analyst, but you were right, George. You know what I mean? They looked more... I don't want to say prepared, but the moment never seemed to get away from them. I mean, I know Momo mentioned in Crosstalk that it sort of felt like the Warriors were dominating until the end, but I never really felt like the Celts felt like they needed to, like, take a punch. They were there and upright for the entire bout, for sure.
Yeah, and Jason Tatum got crushed, I thought, at least initially. You know, as the day went on, I think more and more people were a bit more understanding of his game. Like, you know, here's what I, you know, everyone looks at the 3-for-17 and yet, look, it's bad. Like there's no way around it. Yeah. Right. But he had 13 assists. Like yeah. That's the most of anyone in the history of the sport in their finals debut, more than John Stockton, more than Michael Jordan, who also, you know, I believe those two were tied for that. And I think Charles Barkley, actually, I don't know, maybe there was someone else I'm missing, but there were like three people tied with 12 and he eclipsed all of them. So, like, at the very least, he was defending, and he was getting his teammates easy looks, even though he wasn't nailing shots.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that thing where it's like, oh, every single time a team wins a game, we've got to hyper-analyze how each specific player was. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I just mean in this particular case, he played well enough for them to win. And that's something where if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm looking at that. It's not just quite an intangible. You mentioned the different stats, but, like, what more can you ask out of a guy when he's not shooting well to be able to contribute across the board from a team standpoint like that, and you still win the game? This was a massive win for the Celtics in so many ways.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. Now, look, even though he's going to play better, I think that the other guys will regress some, and I think that's where the Warriors actually have a chance. I think on the games that – like, he's going to have a bounce-back game. He always does. I have the stat. In games where he shoots, like, you know, he has, like, a poor game, like one of these 3-of-17s, the next game he averages 31 points per game on 60% shooting.
I wonder what his line is going to be then in terms of, like, points scored, you know, the over-under.
I think if it's anything under, I'm trying to remember what the number was. I think if it was anything under, like, 16 or 17, you know, he generally goes off the next game.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Coming up next. The Dodgers are finding themselves in a situation where this series against the Mets can be quite foretelling. We'll tell you why on the other side. Stick around, plus what you need to know is coming up in between. We're back in 2 minutes on 710 ESPN.